Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys have enjoyed your day so far. There's a couple of ways you can get a hold of me. I've been trying to get as much listener and supporter interaction as I can because I cannot take the phone calls. I'm telling you, the home studio that I'm building here at the Hobo Fish Camp, I am getting things and the ball is rolling. But for the time being, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two Ds, tuddle@gmail.com. Or what I like even better, you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044.
Tud, how's it going? I have listened to you for fucking ages, since the quarry days.
All right, I can already tell that this is a mediocre time with Tom and Dan fan, supporter, listener, downloader. He could be a BDM. And if you don't know what BDM stands for, it is the subscribers, the ones that are the hardcore listeners of Tom and Dan. It stands for Big Dick Millionaires. And what he means by the quarry is working at Real Radio 104.1, because I worked with Tom, at the time was known as Drunky, and Daniel Dennis at Real Radio on the Monsters in the Morning. And they ended up leaving a great, great contract. They walked away with it. Well, not walked away with it. They walked away from it to be able to do this podcast, this dream that they had of doing. And I got to tell you, good for them. They have been successful. But yes, man, you've been listening to me for quite some time, and I am so appreciative that you finally checked out the show.
Finally broke down to listen to your podcast, and honestly, I had to call you and say great fucking job, buddy.
A lot of people ask me, why do you go on all these like podcasts? And I'm not calling Tom and Dan a small podcast, but I will go on any show, anytime, any day, to be able to promote what I'm doing. If I can gain just one person from an appearance on a podcast, that one person might tell two people, those two people might tell four people, and then it just keeps growing and growing and growing. I've talked about this a lot. Most of the time throughout my terrestrial radio career, any of the stuff that I've done online, I have had a terrestrial radio station to be able to promote it on. That's how my social media numbers are as great as they are. I'm not saying they're like tremendous, but because I've never had a big tweet blow up before. A lot of people follow me just because they hear me on the radio. And the only way that this podcast has grown is because of you, the supporters. That's why I always tell you guys, you are just as important as I am, because this guy found out word of mouth by listening to me from all the other shows that I've done, and he says that he thinks I'm doing a great job.
I'm super impressed. It sounds great. Apparently, you've definitely taken some tips from Tom and Dan. The audio is impeccable.
Please understand, people, if I keep repeating myself, I know that a lot of people have been listening right from the beginning, and they get tired of hearing me say the same thing over and over again. But you also got to realize, podcast is just like radio. The audience, the supporters, is always revolving. You're gaining new followers. You're losing followers, supporters of what you're doing, the content that you're putting out there. So what I'm trying to say is the guy brought up that my audio quality is impeccable. You know, if you're new to the show, I'll break this down for you. I don't have a lot of fancy equipment. You know, obviously this guy is a fan of Tom and Dan. Matter of fact, I was on their show today. And right out of the box when I was on, we did it on Zoom. And they brought up the fact that always Tuttle always shows up with great quality audio. And it is the truth. You know, a lot of these podcasts, like for example, Tom and Dan have one of the best podcasting studios that I have ever seen. But a lot of people don't know, I do the entire show from my iPhone. When I first started the podcast, I was just talking into my crappy ass iPhone 8. I was finally able to upgrade to an iPhone 12. I got one of those lightning connected Rode microphones, R-O-D-E. I don't want any of you guys that maybe have ever thought about doing a podcast thinking that you need to spend money. No, you don't. I do this with a $90 omnidirectional, just a straight directional microphone with a screen cover on it, and it plugs into my iPhone 12. I do all the editing on Twisted Wave. I've got my settings dialed in thanks to Dan Stone. Dan Stone helped me rough in my settings when it comes to the dynamic processing. I know that I'm getting really, really technical when it comes to the behind the scenes stuff, when it comes to audio quality, but I'm glad that you noticed that. Thank you so much, man.
The content is surprisingly good, and your cadence is fucking great. I was worried that just by yourself it would be boring, but got a hand to you, Tuttle. I really enjoy the fucking show.
A lot of people ask me, why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep doing it when obviously the industry does not appreciate you? They kick you while you're down. They get rid of you, which for the most part, a lot of it has been my own undoing. You know, a lot of people think that I've been just fired. I have not had a steady radio job. A lot of people don't realize that I worked with the Monsters in the Morning, well, Real Radio in particularly, for 10 years straight. And I had a good run. That is great for radio. A lot of you guys got to realize, hell, even Bubba the Love Sponge just talked about this. He has been all over the country from getting laid off or fired for something that he did. And you're not a real radio journeyman unless that you have been fired from a lot of different radio gigs. I had a bad run from 2010 to 2020 because I was bouncing back and forth from Bubba to the Bone, back to Bubba, back to the Bone, then to the Monsters, or the Monsters again in 2014, then back to Bubba for quite a while, got fired from him again, then came back. You know, so it's been a rough decade for me. I would like to get a little bit of stability, but I really, really do appreciate that. I think that this podcast has made me a better broadcaster. You know, a lot of these podcasting people, they have a partner. They have an ensemble cast. They have producers. I do have a producer. But when it comes to the on-air content, it's pretty much me flying solo. I do have the occasional guest on, but for the most part, when it comes to an everyday cast of characters, it is just me.
Probably going to donate you some money here at some point, but keep up the great work. You got a new listener. Sorry it took me so long, but you still got the chops, man. Keep putting in the hard work. You can really tell that it's fucking paying off.
Seriously, this is why I do it. This is why I do it. It's not for people to mark out to me or give me adulations or whatever. But no, I like entertaining people. I like giving people that escape from their everyday mundane lives. And I'm not saying this guy has a mundane life, but we all have our problems. And a lot of people want that escape, being stuck in rush hour traffic. And I just like to be able to entertain people, give people that little bit of escape from reality, because a lot of people got problems. You know, 2020 was not a great year. And if I can just help people for an hour a day, get a little bit of relief, take some of the stress off, it is all worth it. So thank you so much, my friend.
Sorry about your dad. Hard to hear that. But you're doing a great job, man. I'm really impressed. Congratulations on the show. Fucking keep it up. Later.
Wow, seriously, that just made my day. Because I spent pretty much all my day in Orlando because my mom ended up having 3 different doctor's appointments today. These are the final appointments that she has to have before she goes into surgery to have the tumor removed that they've been putting off and off and off. And it's kind of getting a little frustrating. And sometimes I do not feel like doing this show, doing the Tuttle Daily Podcast, but voicemails like this all make it worth it. I will admit, I heard this song today on the News Junkie while I was in Real Radio, the News Junkie, Sean Wasson, and I also find it really, really interesting, and it just shows the type of person that Todd Snit is, MJ. If you are a Bubba fan, which if you most likely are if you are listening to this, Todd Snit is the guy that ended up suing Bubba for defamation over just words that he was saying on the radio. And it was a pretty big lawsuit. I think it was for like a couple $1 million. And Bubba ended up winning it because the judge was like, listen, this is his right to freedom of speech. You are a public figure, and Bubba can talk about you. As long as he's not spreading lies or rumors about you, it's hard to prove a libel lawsuit because you gotta prove that you lost something financially or you went through some type of hardship. And then you got to get past the First Amendment. But Sean Wasson was talking about this on his show today. Before they played this piece of audio I'm about to play for you, that I guess he commented on Twitter on something that Todd MJ Snit posted, and he ended up blocking Sean Wasson. I ended up tweeting at Sean. I never got a reply. I don't know, like, if my name is Mud when it comes to Real Radio. Well, I can almost guarantee you my name is Mud at Real Radio, but I still have love for every single personality that works there. But good for you, Sean. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad because at least you're not having to go to court and defend yourself over a $1 million lawsuit from Todd Snit. But this piece of audio that I heard, Juvenile, I don't know if you remember that song back in, I'm pretty sure it was 1999, could have even been 2000, Back That Thing Up. You a fine motherfucker, you better back that thing up. You a bad motherfucker, you better back that thing up. I know that I'm horrible. I have the worst rhythm in the world. But this, I guess, is desperate times for Juvenile because now he's doing parody songs of his own original material. Just giving you a heads up, I have to jump in every so often when I'm playing copywritten material, because that's one of the reasons I still have not been approved for monetization on YouTube. I know that I've said that YouTube has a lot of benefits. They let you get away with a lot more, but I cannot let the music play if it's copywritten for way too long without jumping in. That's the thing about it. I don't know how a lot of these YouTubers get away with it, because the big thing on YouTube now are the reaction videos of, like, hip-hop fans. And the new ones that I've talked about this, the ones that I always watch are the ones that consider themselves true hip-hop fans reviewing Beastie Boys songs. If you're a true hip-hop fan and you have never heard a Beastie Boys and getting your, like, real reaction from it, you're not a real hip-hop fan. And I don't know how they get away with it. And if any of you guys out there know, like, any details on how I can just get away with this or how these assholes are getting away with it, I would love to hear from you. Email me, Tuttle@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044.
You're finna online day chat, find a May chat, open up BOK ass, okay, yeah, profile picture looking tight chat, nice chat, gotcha.
So what I meant by him doing a parody song, the name of this song is Vax That Thing Up, like vaccinate, V-A-X, you better vax that thing up, which I think is, I don't know, a little sad now listening to it, because a lot of these hip-hop artists that we grew up with in our late teens, early 20s, it's just sad. It's just sad that, and I'm sure that Juvenile got probably paid to be able to do this song, but man, Juvenile's put on some weight. The other rapper from the original song has gotten even heavier, and it's just, I mean, I like it because I'm playing it. Or do I really, really like it? Am I just making fun of it? Because, I mean, you would think that Juvenile might have been okay with his money. I mean, because that was a hit back in the day. And you got to think he made some money off of touring. But a lot of these rappers, I mean, you look at Kodak Black. And that's the thing about a lot of these hip-hop artists. When you see, like, a person like Kodak Black throwing $100,000 off of his yacht into the ocean, or just throwing a bunch of $100 bills in the toilet and flushing it, that's not real money. Do you realize a lot of these hip-hop videos that they shoot, it's nothing but prop money? I mean, it looks so real. I mean, it is really, really real looking. I remember the first time that I went to Colton's friend Bezo's house to get my haircut, and Bezo does a lot of music videos. He shoots music videos for local hip-hop artists in Tampa, and he's just got bins of this prop money, and it looks so goddamn real. But if you read it, it says, fine print, it says, this is prop money. But it's in small little print, and I'm sure some dumbasses have tried to pass that stuff off. So don't think like Kodak Black or any of these big-ass hip-hop artists are just throwing money away like they do. No, it is all prop money, people.
By your reading, right, Chad, precise, Chad. But before you find a day, Chad, you gotta wait, Chad. Gotta go back to nature, get it straight, Chad. Girl, you look good, won't you vax that thing up? You're a handsome young brother, won't you vax that thing up?
Does anybody else think that it's weird that Juvenile is saying, you are a handsome young brother, you better vax that thing up? No. It's a little sus. It's a little suspicious if you're asking me.
Ain't in real life, you need to vax that thing up. Feeling freaky all night, you need to vax that thing up. Girl, you look good, won't you vax that thing up? You're a handsome young brother, won't you vax that thing up? Ain't in real life, you need to vax that thing up. Feeling freaky all night.
The only thing that could have made this video actually legitimate is if they could have gotten Dr. Fauci, you know, the head guy for all the infectious disease stuff. He's worked with numerous presidents here in the United States. If you could have had Dr. Fauci or that Andrea Burke, I think that's what her name was, to be able to get into this video, if you could see Dr. Burke twerking, and maybe Fauci throwing some of that fake prop money while she's twerking it and making her ass clap, I would be down for this video. It would have been brilliant as fuck.
Like you need to vax that thing up.
I know you can't stand it, no holding hands chick, but when we get the shot, we gonna be romancing. Girl, you could be the queen at the quarantine. We could meet up at the spot and we could do the thing. Internet date chat, I'm your mate chat.
Listen, the type of people, and this is not a racial thing, because a lot of white, I listen to hip-hop music all the time. The people that love hip-hop music, the ones that would probably like a Juvenile or whatever, they are not going to let COVID-19 get in the way of them getting some ass. I'm just saying, any guy out there, if the chick is hot enough, she could be like the outbreak key. And that, once again, I got to cover my ass. That's not a racial thing at all. I'm talking about the movie, you know, the little capuchin monkey that was carrying the original disease. That is what I meant. What I'm saying is it could be the hottest chick in the world and she could be patient zero. And I still think they would be down to have sex.
Download the app, shawty, you ain't gotta wait, Jay. I love it when you hold me, eggplant emoji. You could be the young hot thing, I'll be the OG.
Girl, you look good, won't you vax that thing up? You's a handsome young brother, won't you vax that thing up?
All right, they're already back to the hook. See, I don't want to play too much of that stuff. See, that is the sad thing about it. Is that, you know, like, I can play all the news audio I want to under the Fair Use Act. As long as I'm jumping in, and I'm not just straight playing their audio stuff, I'm giving my commentary by jumping in and stuff. I guess that is okay with YouTube. But like I said, once again, if any of you guys have any tips to be able to help me, because I got to go back through, I got to do this appeal video. I have to, like, go through any of the, because I will admit, when I first started my YouTube channel, I would find interesting videos and I would post them. So I kind of was jacking other people's material, but I just would love any advice, any help that you can give me. You can email me Tuttle@gmail.com or leave me a voicemail 407-270-3044. Gonna take a quick break. When I come back, I'm gonna have my good friend Charlie Alamo on the show, and we are just gonna shoot the shit. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Great news, folks. You now have the chance to see the face in front of that sexy voice. Right you are, sir. The Tuttle Daily Podcast streams Monday to Friday on YouTube. Anything can happen at the Hobo Fish Camp.
Oh,
okay.
Oh.
Okay, sir, that's enough. Okay, so go to youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell button so you're notified anytime Tuttle goes live. Good job, sir. Questions, comments, concerns, compliments, or do you just want to tell Tuttle to fuck off? In any event, contact Tuttle. Tuttle@gmail.com.
It's Tuttle with two D's, dumbass.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. One of my favorite people. I was just on his show a couple of days ago. And I got to tell you, I thought we did a great job. A lot of people do not know this. And Charlie, you can attest to this. Like, we really do not, like, discuss what we're going to talk about before we start recording, right? Like, we hardly ever do.
Absolutely not. In fact, anything that we usually discuss, we probably forget about and then end up discussing something else.
Yeah, I was on Tom and Dan today. So that was pretty cool. I ended up having to spend all day in Orlando. I texted with you about the DMV problem that I had the other day, man. Have you ever had that problem with government, like, just offices in general?
Yeah, I have. And maybe not to the extent that you were there all day, but certainly 3-4 hours worth of time just eaten up.
What is that about? Like, I'm being dead serious. They had 15 fucking windows open, and they only had 3 employees. And I don't know if it was because of the shitty-ass, pussy-ass, so-called hurricane that we had, but I just think that people are just not wanting to work right now. Like, I hear that the hiring, like, people, the job postings, nobody is going after them.
No, absolutely not. And those places were terrible to begin with. The employees there were horrible. So now you add in that nobody wants to work and they can take time off for basically any little thing. Of course they're not going to be there. It's absolutely absurd is what it is. It's almost like they're fucking with you. Maybe it almost feels like they are purposely fucking with you. I was going to say maybe they're doing it subconsciously, but no, it's government buildings. They're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, man. And I'm not, like, saying I would ever do this, because you got to be careful with the cancel culture. But, man, I could almost see, you know, I can almost kind of understand Timothy McVeigh a little bit.
Yeah, except he should have done it to a place.
DMV.
Like, yeah, or something like that. Or a place where you got to go get your license or anything like that. It's just horrendous. I mean, the worst, I don't think I've sat there all day, but I know that one of the worst things that I've had is I got all the way up to the line and the lady next in line, bam, puts the next window open. And that lady had like, she was struggling with the one person she had. By the time that this lady did two, the one lady that I had to wait for only got one done. So it was absolutely angering. And by the time I got up there, I'm trying not to be mad at her, but it was the most difficult thing ever because I just wanted to reach over and strangle this dumb fat bitch.
And that's the thing about it is you can't be a dick because they hold all the power. Like if they wanted to be like an asshole, they could just tell you to leave.
Yeah,
like, and they really can.
How are you going to get a license or your plates or anything? You're fucked.
Yeah, I mean it's really really crazy because you know it's weird. Because my license was suspended over absolutely nothing. Because I ended up, the last time I ended up getting pulled over and driving on a suspended license, which was all over the toll road stuff here in Orlando. They love to tax the hell out of you on the tolls and in the Orlando area because of all the tourism and stuff. And all the people that live there have to suffer because of it. And I had an e-pass. I was not getting the notices. I got pulled over. I lost my license that day. I had to spend 3 days in jail. Didn't have enough time to get it fixed because I already had plans to go to England that day or in the future. So I ended up getting one of those real ID cards. Do you guys have to get those real ID cards up in Montana? The ones with the stars on them where you got to like bring in like three different like forms of identification.
Yes. And that's how you have to fly unless you have a passport here. It's fucking absurd.
Yeah. And all right. So when I got my license renewed, they never asked me back for the ID card. Okay. So I never turned that back in. And I guess it's a law. You're not allowed to have two IDs at the same time. And that is why they suspended my license.
That seems crazy to me, too. You think that they would cancel out the ID, but it's probably the last one that you got, being that it was your license. They just canceled that one, which is still crazy.
Yeah. So when I got pulled over because because I'm driving my dad's truck now, you know, because my dad died like 4 days after his birthday, you know, we had a lot of heavy shit we were dealing with at the time. And then we just forgot. Luckily, the sheriff's officer was really, really cool about it and was able to let me because I wasn't that too far away from the home. So, I mean, if he wanted to be a dick, he could have taken me to jail.
Yeah, but after some oral favors, he let you go home.
No, it would have made him look like the biggest asshole. If he would have taken me to jail, I'm not trying to play the dead dad card.
Well, you would have looked even more like a dick, especially after you blew him.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, man, I just sucked you off or not even sucked you off. I just jacked him off, you know, and I didn't even make him pull his pants down. I just did it right through the zipper.
Oh.
And he had the gun to the side of my head while I was doing it.
Jesus. Well, you know what? You definitely should not go to jail for that.
Yeah. Is there one country that you would never like visit?
Probably India or something like that. Anywhere where they shit in the street.
Haiti. Haiti is my one, man.
Yeah, I could see Haiti being pretty bad too. It seems like a place that they would lily white person such as yourself or myself would end up getting captured for something, which would be just retarded because we're not worth anything.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. No. We wouldn't get anything. It would be like Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder.
Oh,
maybe one of his greatest roles where he wouldn't negotiate with him at all. He was like, just go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's probably how you saw the tape that came out of him yelling at people over COVID and they still got COVID on the last Mission Impossible movie, which can those just end already? They're not good. They're not good.
And I'm sorry. I don't need to hear how great Tom Cruise is about, you know, how he does all of his own stunts. He flies all of his own helicopters and planes and stuff like that. I really don't give a fuck. I just would rather have it CGI. I mean, it's just the way that I look at it.
Yeah, some of it, especially now, CGI looks good. It's not like a few years ago when it looked weird.
But that's the thing about CGI, though. Like, are we to the point where it's not going to get any better? Because, like, for example, if you go back and you watch the original Incredible Hulk movie that they did with Eric Bana, I mean, at the time, I was like, okay, it's okay. But now it's just complete garbage. Like, if you look back on it.
Yeah, the best part about that was that Nick Nolte got busted wearing that Hawaiian shirt that he's wearing in that movie for DUI.
Nick Nolte, like, all right, would you put Nick Nolte in the same, like, category as, like, a Gary Busey?
Yes, especially now. They're both, you can't hardly understand either one of them.
No, you
Gary
can't.
Gary Busey, you can kind of understand, but he's just grinning with that big old set of chompers that he's got. I mean, I would like to talk to both of them. Gary Busey would probably give you more life lesson stuff, whereas Nick Nolte, you could probably just sit there and drink and chain smoke with.
What's your favorite Gary Busey movie? Either Point Break or the original Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, or Under Siege. He was great in that.
Oh, yeah. Damn it, Charlie. You fucking trumped me on that one.
Yeah.
I really can't think of any other ones, though.
That were that great. Well, the Buddy Holly, I can't even talk.
Buddy Holly.
Yeah, the Buddy Holly story.
Yeah, I mean, didn't he get nominated for that role?
Yeah, and he sang all the songs too.
Yeah, see, you know, that's why I don't get why Rami Malek. I know everybody loves Rami Malek, the one that played the Queen lead singer Freddie Mercury.
Oh yeah,
he didn't sing any of those songs, but the dude that did the Elton John one sang all the songs in that movie.
Did either one of them go all the way with their respective characters and blow somebody?
I really did not watch Bohemian Rhapsody, but I did watch Rocketman. I watched Rocketman, and I gotta tell you, like, Elton, who was the bigger partier though? I gotta say, Elton back in the day, like, he had two moments where he did so much cocaine that his heart stopped. Like, I mean, to do that for a second time, it's like you kind of didn't learn your lesson.
No. I mean, well, you know, Freddie Mercury partied so hard he got AIDS.
Yeah. But who was the better showman?
Oh, that's it. Well, I don't know. That's actually a difficult question because, you know, Freddie Mercury did more stuff. He wasn't behind a piano running around the stage. But I think that you would have to go with Elton John. I mean, didn't he have like a whole elaborate stage show? I think the best show ever would probably be Alice Cooper because nobody's chopping their head off like he did.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, that Live Aid performance that Queen did, like that. I mean, I have never seen a crowd that big before.
No, and they were totally into it. I think if I had to pick one to listen to, it would definitely be Queen over Elton John. I don't really like Elton John's music.
Now, what would be your favorite Queen song out of all of them? Because mine, just because of Shaun of the Dead, is Don't Stop Me Now.
Okay.
Because you remember in the bar scene where they were beating the zombies with the pool sticks and stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I do remember that. I had to go back and think of that. Was one of those movies that I only watched once.
Yeah. Simon Pegg, you either like him or love him. Like, I mean, there's really no in between.
I thought you were going to say like him or hate him because I don't really care for him.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Why?
I think he's fine. The one, that one British show that he was in. Where Slackers or whatever.
Yeah,
that
Slackers. Yeah.
That show was great. I like the younger him when he was more of like a struggling actor. Now I just don't care for his stuff. Plus, they were cranking out all those movies with him and that fat guy.
Yeah. What the fuck was his name? Anyways, Hot Fuzz was horrible. I didn't like Hot Fuzz. Boo.
No. Or the one where they got a drink at the all the
end
bar.
Of the world or like yeah. something. I think at the world's end, I think that's what the name of that movie was. And it just seems they were just churning those movies out. They really didn't care what the hell the quality was like. They were just like, all right, we're going to make money.
Yeah, people liked the combination of them. So they made too many of the movies when they could have made better ones, I think. Like Shaun of the Dead was not a bad movie. But after that, the quality got bad.
I like Bill Nighy for some reason. He was the one that was the father that was dating his mother in Shaun of the Dead. He was also in the movie Love Actually. He was the singer, the washed up singer. I know you probably only reason I ever watched Love Actually was when I was married. It was a big chick flick and everybody loved that one.
That old British guy, right?
Yes, that's the one I'm talking about.
Was he also in Snatch?
Was he in that movie was on the other day. And I got to tell you, that's one of those movies I will stop and watch every single time that it is on TV.
It's a good one. I like the Guy Ritchie movies. I still want to watch. I saw that the other one.
Gentleman with Matthew McConaughey was really, really good.
That's the one that I saw was on Netflix or something like that. So I was going to watch that. He likes to do. It's always some American dude that gets fucked around in London, which makes sense because he is, you know, British, but it's always an American guy that gets double crossed, except for in even in Snatch too. It was Dennis Farina who comes over to try to get the diamonds and stuff.
Oh, dude, I did not know his name, but he's another one. Now, do you want to? It's funny. It's funny like how we don't even plan any of this stuff. Do you remember the movie with Jason Lee and Tom Green called Stealing Harvard, where he promised his niece that he would pay for her college tuition to go to Harvard?
Yeah, Chris Penn's in that too.
Yes, right before. My favorite the Sean Penn quote is, "Stop pointing that gun at my father."
Oh yeah, from
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, nice guy Eddie. How could you?
Yeah. Now, what do you think about Tarantino? I think we've already discussed this, but he was on CBS Sunday Morning this past weekend. Do you ever watch CBS Sunday Morning? I know that it's an old person show, but for some reason, I really, really love it.
I did when I had cable.
Yeah, but it's on CBS. You guys don't get like CBS affiliate there, or are you guys just out in the middle of nowhere?
I don't get CBS anything. I just watch I haven't even been watching Netflix or anything. I've just been watching the same old movies that I have. Really?
One of the shows that I'm interested in watching is Peaky Blinders. Have you watched any of that?
Yeah, a little bit. I need to go back and rewatch it. I like that one guy that was the Scarecrow from the Batman.
Cillian Murphy. Now, you know, Danny Boyle loved him. You know, he was in two Danny Boyle movies. He was in 28 Days Later, which I thought was an amazing zombie flick.
Okay.
Did you ever see it or no?
No, I don't think I did.
Well, he wakes up. It's almost like a la The Walking Dead. He wakes up in the hospital and London is completely deserted.
Oh.
And it's not like zombies. It's more of being infected with like a rage virus that they just start attacking the living.
Oh, I have one of those, a rage virus.
But then another one, that movie Sunshine. Did you ever watch that one where they took the spaceship and they had to reignite the sun?
No, but that sounds interesting.
Yeah, that was his first stab. He's done a lot of great movies. I mean, Slumdog Millionaire is where he won Best Director and Best Picture for.
Of course, everybody loved that movie. I never saw it, but everybody loved it for some reason.
Did I tell you the story how I had to beg Russ when I was on the Monsters to book him on the show?
I think so. And this was at the time that Slumdog was
out. Millionaire was coming out. Like I was like, you want to have him on? This is a great director because Trainspotting is a brilliant ass movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The second one, not so much, but the first one. Yes. The second one, it's, you know what it started to become when they make sequels to movies years later, it's nostalgia. Oh, look, it's all those guys again. And then you're like, after a little bit, you're like, wait a minute. But who cares now?
Who was your favorite character out of Trainspotting? Robert Carlyle playing.
Yeah, I think Robert Carlyle in general is one of my favorites. He was part of that horrible Formula 51 movie with Sam Jackson.
Oh,
he,
my God. I'm glad somebody else has seen that movie, because I actually like that movie, because at the time it was when I was doing a lot of ecstasy back in the day. And I was just like, hell yeah, got to do this.
I didn't mind it, but I found out that they like changed the name too. It's called something. It's called something else as well, because I saw it the other day on something. I was like, wait a minute, Robert Carlyle, Sam Jack. I was like, that's the same movie. They just changed it.
Well, they do that sometimes in other countries. They change the name.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that, but I don't know why they would have two different versions here. The other day I saw it was on like Pluto or something like that, but it was still called Formula 51. You just like the ending of it when Sam Jackson's walking around naked on the golf course.
Yeah. I know we're talking a lot about movies. A movie that was on the other day, and I think it is Eddie Murphy's last funny movie. What do you think it would be?
Harlem Nights?
No, the movie Life with him and Martin Lawrence.
Oh yeah, that was a good movie. I haven't seen that in a while either, but yeah, that was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, that was great. My favorite scene in that whole movie was when they go down to the South and they stop in. They want to get some pie. And the down in Mississippi, and they were like, we don't have any color pies down here. And Eddie Murphy was like, well, how much do I got to pay to get some of these in pies or whatever? And he was like, nothing. And they cock a shotgun. I was like, oh, OK, I see where they're going with this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a long movie, too. It wasn't a short movie.
But Harlem Nights was good. Fuck me, man.
Yeah, Harlem Nights was pretty great. And then you find out that that's about the time that Richard Pryor started getting his MS or whatever that he had.
Was that before he burned himself or no?
No, this was way after.
Man.
He burned himself in like 80, in the mid 80s. And then that movie was like at the tail end of the 80s.
One of my favorite, most simplest jokes. He's lighting a cigarette on stage.
Oh yeah.
And the match is burning. He was like, oh, there goes Richard Pryor. Didn't he go jump in a pool when he got burned?
No, I think he just rolled and somebody put him out.
Now explain freebasing to me. Like, why would he have caught on fire?
Cause you're dealing with ether.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. That shit's super flammable. You know, speaking of movies, do you know who's a douchebag that I was just reading about today? That Colin Farrell guy. He was on Jimmy Kimmel the other day, apparently. I don't know. From what I read, I've never watched Jimmy Kimmel's show. I don't find him to be very funny. But he was talking about the homeless, and then he started crying about the homeless in L.A.
And oh, God.
So up in arms, like, do you see how much he cares? Yes, as he sits in his multi-million-dollar home. I'm sure he really cares that much about the homeless. If he cared about the homeless, wouldn't he be giving all of his money away or even some of it? I mean, granted, we don't know what he's doing, but he's full of shit. He's another fucking terrible actor. He was in a movie about a fucking phone booth called Phone Booth. That's how fucking terrible this douchebag is. He's never been in a good movie.
Still his best movie, though, out of all of them, I would have to say, because he didn't he do a Miami Vice like remake at one time?
That was horrendous. That came out when I was living in Miami. It was a piece of fucking shit. Talk about.
And do you remember?
It shouldn't have been even called Miami Vice, because the only thing that it had in common was was the character names. That's it. Everything else was fucking. It didn't. It was just a piece of shit.
And then he played Bullseye in that horrible Daredevil movie.
Oh, good. What a fucking joke. I hate that son of a bitch so much. Again, he's not a good actor, but he can cry on Jimmy Kimmel about the homeless and he's sensitive. Who gives a shit? Him and Jimmy Kimmel are a couple of phonies. Jimmy Kimmel was blackface a few years back and he couldn't backpedal that fast enough.
Yeah, just own it, man. Own it. Yeah. I see, that's not what I okay. Like, for example, I talked about this on yesterday's show. Felicia Rashad, who played Claire Huxtable, defending Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
You know, she's backpedaling. And I'm like, no, own that shit, bitch. Like, I'm being dead serious. Like, if you put it out there, own it. I have more respect for you if you're not backpedaling.
Wasn't it because he was wearing some college sweatshirt or some shit like that?
Well, no, she
no,
said
I know that she said something like that, but I know that he people were outraged about some sweatshirt that he was wearing when he came out of jail or some shit like that. How are people going to be pissed off at a sweatshirt?
Well, see, she just said the injustice has been done right. No, not really, because he wasn't found innocent. He just was found not guilty. That's where a lot of people get stuff confused.
Well, she misspoke. And didn't she wasn't on the Cosby Show the entire time, was she? Didn't she leave?
No, see, I think you're mixing that up with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Remember, they had two moms.
Yeah,
they had two. Right. And you know that there was a big rift between the first woman that played the wife, Aunt Vivian, on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And then they brought in another one. And I just it just looks weird when you do stuff like that. I can't think of any other shows where they replace somebody just and with no explanation.
Yeah, no. I'm trying to think. In everything, they'll either write them out and they'll bring somebody else in. And that's just usually what they do. They don't ever just change. Well, I guess there was two Lilies. Lily in the first season from the second season, and they never they never talked about that. But I mean, that's going back to the 60s.
Now, a lot of people don't realize. I know that we're going heavy, like entertainment movie and stuff. But like,
what if they want us to go heavy in political talk?
No, but a lot of people. Speaking of the monsters, I talked about this. A lot of people don't realize the judge in My Cousin Vinny was Herman Munster.
How could they not know that Fred Gwynne was Herman Munster?
But a lot of people are dumb, though. You know that, right?
Well, do a lot of people realize that the other lawyer is the same guy from that horrible Superman TV show with
Lois and Clark?
Yeah, Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher.
I found Terry Hatcher to be hot as fuck when show was out, though.
She was smoking in that, or her tiny part in Seinfeld, when they're real and they're spectacular. She was great.
Dude, Seinfeld had so many like bit parts of actors that became huge. Like Bryan Cranston was on Seinfeld.
He was fantastic as Tim Watley. There's a ton of people that Michelle Pfeiffer. There's a ton of people that were Jerry's girlfriends that ended up being that were either big actresses or ended up being big actresses. Jamie Gertz was one of them, and she was in Lost Boys and all that other. That one show with Mark Addy later on. And what,
did you Julia Louise Dreyfus?
Yes.
I at the time, like with the hair and everything, you know, because a lot of people forget that show started in 89, didn't it? I think it did.
Yeah. And they actually didn't do that. Was just the pilot. They didn't get picked up until the next year. So 90 was when it really started.
I thought she was hot as hell in Veep. I thought Veep was a funny ass fucking show.
She looks amazing with her hair down and not all curly. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Elaine character was definitely very cute. But the problem is she wore like weird outfits in Seinfeld that were not very flattering to her.
And you know, the thing about it is she really didn't even need the money like to act, right? Isn't she like some rich ass bitch?
Yeah.
Before she was even acting?
I think so. I think her parents had money. Plus her husband is a big producer, so he's doing a lot of stuff too. And I mean, she did, when you think about it, she did the best out of all the Seinfeld people that went on to do stuff. She had that New Adventures of Old Christine show, which lasted a while. I think she got some awards for that. And then Veep, which was amazing.
Brilliant. Like that show, the way, because you know what I liked about it? Because you know our politicians are cursed like that all the time.
Oh, absolutely. There are a bunch of old white people and some African-American people. But you gotta believe that they are throwing F-bombs every which way that they can when there's not a camera or something recording them.
one last thing I wanted to talk about. I was reading this story today. Well, two last things. One, what do you think about Trump's class action lawsuit against the social media companies? And number two, what do you think about him charging the Secret Service members that are protecting him $10,000 a month at Mar-a-Lago?
He's charging them?
Yeah, like, how the fuck do you, like, you would actually want to give the guys that are supposed to take a bullet for you a free room, right?
That's pretty boss, though. He's like, yeah, fuck it, I'm not going to pay for your shit.
No, I'm just being serious, though.
No, that is fucked up. And granted, those people are supposed to take a bullet for you. It makes you kind of think, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But what about the lawsuit stuff? I do agree that there needs to be something done. Some laws need to be made about social media because a lot of dumbasses do get their news from social media, which I've never understood.
Yes, a lot of people do. A lot of people think that somebody's tweet is then factual and thus news.
But though, like, simple people that are just, you know, giving their opinion and stuff. I got shadow banned one time for just absolute, I don't even know what it was for, but I got shadow banned for like a week and a half, 2 weeks, where nobody was seeing my shit except the people that were following.
It probably had something to do with the sponge.
No, it was around the beginning of COVID.
Oh, did you say some sort of outrageous thing, like it was fake or something?
No, I interviewed
the virus.
No, I interviewed a guy that was in the park, and you wouldn't think that somebody's smart, but this guy he works with animals. They do testing and stuff, but he specializes in zoonotic diseases, you know, transferring from animals to humans and stuff. And I interviewed him, and I posted that on Twitter, and it got me shadow banned.
Oh. Did you mention any zoophilia or zoophiles or anything like that? Nothing.
No, no. But, you know, the one that he did talk about is this chronic wasting disease that people. You know, there's a lot of deer up in Montana, right?
Yes, that's what hit. That's what I hit with my car.
Well, but, you know, this chronic wasting disease is in some of the deer here in America. And if it jumps over to humans, what they're saying is that no matter how much you eat, your body does not take in any of the calories that you're eating.
I've actually read about that because they are definitely worried about that, especially with hunting and stuff like that. Because, I mean, you go out and you kill these deer and then you harvest them and eat the meat, then you get exposed to it. And like you were saying, then you got a whole bunch of fucking problems.
Yeah, and the scariest thing about this whole thing is that they said that they actually put this this virus that causes the chronic wasting disease under a blowtorch, and it still didn't kill it.
So they called some hard pipe-hitting ends with a pair of pliers and a blowtorch?
Yeah, you know, man. You know, Tarantino is going into writing novels once he gets done, right?
I'd like to... Yes, that's fine with me. He can expand more on his other things.
Dialogue, but he wrote a book, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but it goes more into more dialogue because we all know how, like, fucking Tarantino loves to write dialogue.
Yeah, he can turn it out. I mean, he's shit, all those years sitting in a movie rental place just watching films and stuff like that, he certainly picked up a few things.
He changed
cinema too, I mean, in his own right.
No, he did. And did you know, you saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, right?
Oh yeah.
So you know the character Bruce Dern played, the owner of the Spahn Ranch?
Yes.
Okay, do you know who originally was supposed to play that character, but he died?
What's his name?
Tarantino is known for taking actors that maybe their career isn't doing so well. Because in all reality, if it wasn't for Tarantino, John Travolta would have never, ever done like all the movies he did in the 90s.
No, and if it wasn't for him doing that Blown Out or whatever movie that Tarantino saw in the 80s, that wasn't even really, I mean, it's a pretty good movie. It gets fucking crazy in that, but it wasn't that great of a movie. But to see that and then want to put him in it, was it Harry Dean Stanton?
No, Burt Reynolds was supposed to play the character of Spawn.
Oh, that would have been great. Actually, that would have been really great.
Yeah, but he died before then. But I also kind of think that Tarantino kind of is a little full of himself, because in the interview, it was kind of like, I talked to him the night before he died, and he was happy to have the role. So he died happy. He almost kind of made it seem like it was because of him.
Well, at least he knew that he was going to have a role in a big movie. He didn't have to do some fucking D-list shit, because he did a lot of crap.
Boogie Nights was his last great one.
Yeah, and he hated that movie.
Really? Why?
Yeah. He hated working on it. He said it was a pain in the ass. But
he did Striptease. Was Striptease before Boogie Nights or after Boogie Nights?
That was before. And you know what? You want to hear a funny story about Striptease? The bus stop that I used to go to in Florida was right across the street from where that strip club was that somebody mysteriously burned down for the insurance money, what they call Jewish lightning.
Speaking of that, do you know when Russ first started radio, Russ Rollins from the Monsters, he owned a party store.
Yeah, did it mysteriously?
Yeah, it mysteriously burned down.
There's been a few businesses around here. One of them, there was this couple that owned a bunch of restaurants here. It was called The Prospector. It was really good food, but the one burned down mysteriously. Then they started buying up all these places. Well, then they found out that they burned down the place, so they ended up going to jail.
It
happens. I mean, you know.
All right, Charlie. Tell people if they want to be able to check out the podcast that me and you recorded earlier in the week, how can they check that out?
Yes, you can go to anchor.fm and then it's /lame show.
That's lame show. How long of a show did we do? I think 45
like
minutes?
Minutes, yeah, something like that. And it's also on my Twitter. It's probably the first thing that's on there @reallame.
And what? Sorry, I stepped over you. What is your Twitter?
@reallamecharlie.
All right, Charlie, man. I hope you have a great rest of the day, and I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Absolutely, thank you for having me, and I can't wait to talk more nonsense with you next time.
All right, man. See ya. Bye.
Wish you could have just flown and had your vehicle arrive a day or two later so you can enjoy more time doing what's important to you? Well, you can. Just give Starfire Transport a call. Let the professionals do the driving while you're flying. Starfire Transport specializes in RV and auto transport. They'll also haul watercraft from boats to PWCs, cargo trailers, and more. Service available throughout the continental United States. So don't wait. Call Brian today at 574-349-4193 or 989-751-6106 for your next move. 10% off for veterans past or present. Also, make sure to tell them Tuttle sent you for an additional discount. That's Starfire Transport. Want to support the show? Go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Last segment of today's show. I talked about this a little bit on Tom and Dan today. You know, I'm down to one sponsor right now, which is Starfire Transport. I know that the economy is kind of bad. Inflation is getting bad. So, like, I'm not mad at any of the people that have bowed out. I'm still trying to figure out what happened to my merch guy from Stitch You Up. Anyways, if you'd like to donate, because it really, really could help me out, I don't care if it's just a dollar. You can easily go to my PayPal account, paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio. That's paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio. A lot of the money is going to go into the new studio that I'm trying to build, because I got a lot of big plans. If you have not heard yet, I plan on starting to do a 2-hour live stream every single day from the new studio that I build. And then I'm going to take that audio and use that for the podcast. And then I'm also going to do some exclusive podcast content. Before I go, I want to talk about this story I saw the other day. Real life Tarzan lived for 41 years not knowing women exist in a rat head. What is worse? Not knowing women exist? that actually might be a good thing. Like, think about it. As a man, but how did he get there? Like, seriously, he had to have had a mother, correct? So how does he not know that women exist? Was he just abandoned? Was he like Mowgli or whatever from the Jungle Book? I forget his name. Anyways, how does he not know women don't exist? But eating rat heads? I mean, I've met some women that I would rather eat rat heads than have to deal with them. Ho Van Lang, 49, now lives in a small Vietnamese village where he's adapting to living among other people. He and his family fled civilization during the Vietnam War. Okay, your family, let's read into this story a little bit. A real-life Tarzan didn't know that women existed for 41 years before he discovered living in the jungle away from civilization. Ho Van Lang, 49, now lives with his father in a small Vietnamese village 8 years after they escaped their isolated life in the jungle. I've talked about this a little bit. One of the reasons that I like The Walking Dead so much, you know, a lot of the stress that people deal with in just everyday normal life is over money. It is all over money. And yes, it might be stressful in other ways, because if you're out there living out off the land, you could become prey to any of these other predators, but we're still humans. We should be able to outsmart them. We also have guns and stuff like that, but this guy didn't have anything. And sometimes I look at some of those people, even though a lot of you people may think that I'm a nerd, I do know how to live off the land. If shit hit the fan and it just was all out anarchy, I would be able to go out into the Ocala National Forest or the big deserted woods somewhere and be able to survive. I would know how to catch fish. I would know how to hunt. I would know how to do all that. But Ho Van Lang, him and his family fled civilization when a U.S. bomb killed Father Ho Van Thing's wife during the Vietnam War in 1972. Lang, his brother Tri, and his father, Ho, spent most of their lives deep in the Vietnam jungle. His dad had a profound phobia of returning, as he did not believe that the Vietnam War was over. Lang and his family had to adapt to survive and became competent hunters living off of prey they caught in the jungle. I mean, they were eating rat heads, but I guess if you're hungry, you will eat rat heads. I think the grossest thing that I've ever eaten was armadillo. And before any of you guys email me or tweet me or just post anything on social media, I do know that these damn armadillos do carry leprosy. The family ate monkeys, snakes, lizards, and any other creatures they could get their hands on. Lang's favorite was reportedly rat heads. Now, do you remove the teeth out of the rat heads? I really, really don't know. When questioned if he knew what a female was, he said that his father had never explained to him. Well, you know what? That is all on the father. That is just a bad dad. Even these natives that are out living in the jungle are horrible parents. Like, what happened to telling your little Vietnamese kid about the birds and the bees? Do you think animals have to teach their offspring what sex is about, or is it just natural instinct? Because I really do think that eventually human children will find out what reproduction is, what sex is. Because men, in general, I know because I was right on that edge of the internet, Google, whatever it may be, that men, teenage boys, cannot help but touch their penises. I mean, it's out there. The penis is out there. You're going to play with it. I don't give a damn who you are. So you really, that is kind of instinct. But, like, this guy is doomed. Like, he, you know the sad thing is, this guy that just discovered what women are, or that women even existed, probably would have better luck on the dating scene than I would be. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, a lot of these people that are out there living out in the jungle, living off the land, off the grid, per se, I'm kind of jealous of them. I'm kind of jealous that they don't have to worry about money, how they're going to feed themselves by buying something. It just seems like, yeah, it has its pros and cons. But man, how cool would it be that instead of, you know, finding a woman that was interested in you because of your money, she was interested in you because of how you were able to provide by feeding the family, feeding her, feeding the kids, and protection. I'm not trying to be some male macho type of guy, but, I mean, that seems like a pretty sweet deal. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Once again, if you would like to donate to the cause, you can easily do that by going to my PayPal account, paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchUup.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What? What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.